TED Audio Collective.
Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
A quick new idea daily from the world's greatest TEDx talks. I'm your host, Atossa Leone, and this is TEDx Shorts. After more than 18 months of travel restrictions due to the coronavirus, the U.S. has lifted its travel ban from dozens of countries. Tourists can finally make trips to see family, friends, or to just experience the thrill of exploring a new place. As travel operations pick up again, there's a real opportunity to ask if our current travel systems are really working for both people and the planet. Today, travel writer and advisor Doug Lansky provides a few tips on how to build a tourism industry that works for travelers, the climate, and the communities we visit.
I've got a plan for four things that are going to improve tourism for the traveler and for the destination. Protect the quality of life for locals. That's number one. In my mind, if tourism doesn't work for locals, it doesn't work. Now, I'm going to go ahead and assume that you all like to travel. But let me ask you this. Do you like to travel so much that you wouldn't mind if, say, 50 tour buses pulled up on your street and parked there right in front of where you live every single day? Kept the buses running, offloaded about 1,500 tourists. They walked up and down your street, were loud in the morning, loud late at night, threw trash in your bushes, took over the playgrounds where your kids played, took over your favorite cafe on the corner. But they left a little extra money in that cafe, and that gave a nice economic boost to your neighborhood. Cities around the world, the most beautiful cities and the most beautiful parts of those cities have been handed over to the tourists. And what have the locals done? We just kind of backed off. We're like, that's a tourist area now. We're not going to go there. We need to do something. A city can have tourists, but the tourists shouldn't have the city. So here's the thing. This is the word that describes it, over-tourism. I prefer unbalanced tourism. It implies you can have an action to fix the problem. And this is exactly what's happening in cities. There's a balance. Right? If you want to maximize the passengers and planes that can come into an airport, well, maybe that means there's too many people for the hotels or the walking street or the parking lots or the attractions. If you want to grow a destination, it needs to grow organically. And this is what I try to help destinations do around the world. And you know who does it really well? Theme parks. If they want to grow, they add a new ride. If they add a new ride, they add a new ticket counter. If they add a new ticket counter, they add a new bathroom, a new snack stand, a new restaurant, and they grow organically. And this is how it works. The thing is, there are some people who are doing it right. Or here in the Cinque Terre in Italy on the coast, before they didn't have any tickets, and about 2.5 million people walk that trail between these beautiful villages every year. And they just implemented a ticketing system, but they only printed up 1.5 million tickets. They intentionally wanted 1 million fewer visitors. All the other stakeholders do it. Airplanes do it. They have a max capacity. So do hotels, so do tour groups, so do attractions. Why not entire destinations? This gets me to point two, maximizing the local economic impact. Presumably, most people in this industry are in it to earn some money. But instead of looking at number of visitors or revenue, why not profit? They're not looking at it now, and they need to, because they need to look at some important costs and leakages. Costs like electricity, water, picking up the beach after the tourists, cleaning up the streets. In all these international franchises, destination needs to be smart and factor it into the calculation. Because after all, the locals who are there, who are paying the price by having all those tourists that they have to put up with. And this is another problem. Destinations can grow too fast. It's happened just recently. In Iceland, the global average for growth in tourism is 4%. They were growing at 24 per year. I spoke to the CEO of their tourism cluster, She said they were growing so fast, having to build so much infrastructure to handle all the additional visitors, they had trouble earning money. Attraction you've all heard of in Orlando, Florida, one of the world's most famous. They went down in visitation, and they went up 4% in profit. Fewer visitors, more profit. How did they do that? This is the trick. You want to have nice bathrooms all over the place, cleaned after every use, because with the most affluent travelers, and maybe some of you are among them, they go back to their hotel room and use the bathroom there. And while they're there, they turn on the TV, they take a nap, the kids start playing on their phones, and they're out of the consumer loop. You want to keep them shopping, which means you also want great opening hours. When people are in lines, they're not spending. They're out of the consumer loop, and they're miserable. There's something called time-ticketed entry that is available to all attractions. It means you book a specific time, you show up, you go straight in. There's no waiting for anybody. The other thing is advanced spending. So when you're booking a ticket for a museum, maybe they can sell you a lunch while you're there, or an audio tour. And the more you spend in advance, that's last month's budget. You booked it last month. When you show up that day, you're not reaching for your wallet for the entry fee. You're more likely to impulse shop at the gift shop and spend more money. And then you want to separate spending from the money. This is why casinos make you change your money to chips. It doesn't feel like real money. It doesn't feel like you're buying anything. If you use these tricks, you can get more money with even fewer visitors. Third, you want to elevate the visitor experience. It's crazy because tourism is travel without a purpose. There's no clear beginning and an end. And another thing that's happening is we're copying too much best practice. You're probably familiar with this as well. You saw the London Eye was a huge success, and everyone saw that. So they said, oh, well, we should put one in Helsinki. We should have one in Singapore. It's a smart idea. And the last one is protecting the key assets. You gotta protect the things that tourists are coming to see. And so many people aren't. What we need for politicians to do around the world is start new organizations to manage the destinations, or they're not gonna have anything to promote very soon. But you might be wondering, what can we do right now to help? But the thing that might be most topical, should we be flying? This is the big question. We have the CO2 guilt that we're talking about, and some people are saying that we shouldn't be. Part of me says we definitely should stop flying. And there's another part of me that says, well, I can kind of still imagine that someone's going to be flying in 3 years from now, and 5 years from now, and 10 years from now. There will be planes in the sky, and wouldn't it be great if they were all hydrogen-powered or electric-powered, eco-friendly, sustainable energy planes? How cool would it be if more governments signed on with such a plan and more airlines started investing this and we, the customers, started demanding it? That's something we can all do today. And when you go to book a flight, like, say, from New York to Singapore, you can see how much it costs, when it leaves, and how long the flight is, but you can't see how much petrol they're burning. And that's a really important question because there's a huge difference between planes currently servicing that route between 1.3 tons per passenger or 0.9. It's hard to know. It's hard to imagine that there's anything we can do once we get to that destination, like reusing our towels and taking an eco-tour, that's going to add up to that much CO2. But we can do a few things. For starters, we don't have to fly really, really far to get to a beach. We could choose one that's a little closer to home. And if we're flying, or if we want to travel closer to home, we don't have to fly. We can take trains or buses when possible. There are other things we can do to have a better effect on the environment. But not everything has to cost money or require technology. The island of Palau puts a stamp right in your passport, and they ask you to sign it and take the Palau Pledge. It says, "The only footprints I shall leave are those that will wash away." Of course, we should be doing it anyway, whether they put a stamp in our passport or not. Now, I said before that tourism is travel without a purpose. But that doesn't mean we can't make it more purposeful.
The TEDx talk you just listened to was recorded in Stockholm, Sweden. All TEDx events are independently organized by volunteers who believe in TED's mission of ideas worth spreading. Special thanks to the organizing team at TEDx Stockholm Salon. Want to listen to more TEDx Talks? Explore the entire archive on the TEDx YouTube channel. I'm Atossa Leone. Thanks for listening, and see you tomorrow.
effects.